Open your Bible, if you would, please, to the very first book in our scriptures, the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking at a few places there and then another passage in the Old Testament this evening. And we're looking at, if you've been with us here on these Sunday evenings, you know we've been going through a series that we've entitled Lessons from Leaders of the Past. And we've been looking at several different Old Testament leaders and primary prominent characters that we see there and trying to learn lessons from each of their lives. And we've looked at several of them so far, I believe eight of them, and Joshua and Caleb, Jonathan, Gideon, Samuel, Ruth, Saul, and then last week we looked at David. Tonight, we are going to look at a man who's familiar in both the Old and the New Testaments. As a matter of fact, the Bible, you see this man's name. He's mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible. So he's mentioned a tremendous number of times in the Scripture. And even the godless Islamic world, to them, this man is regarded as a great prophet. Actually, he is, in their religion, he is a great prophet, second only to Muhammad himself. This man is a man who is very unusual in his relationship with God. In fact, God calls him, in Isaiah 41 and verse 8, his friend. He's been regarded as the father of the faithful. And this evening, of course, as you know, by now, I want to take a look at this patriarch, Abraham. Romans 4 has something to say about this man, and we're going to be looking there in a little bit. He was known for many things, Abraham was, but probably the thing that most sticks out in our minds about him was his dramatic faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Was he a perfect man? No. And some of his failures of faith are coming to your minds maybe right now. But primarily, as you look over the course of this man's life, what we learn here is his faith, his strong faith, which is the message of his life. God rewards a strong faith. And I want tonight to just highlight three different incidences in Abraham's life that teach us that he was certainly a man of remarkable faith. And I hope that God will use his testimony as we look at it tonight to encourage our own faith and our own walk with God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. God, would you help us tonight? We look at this man and we actually marvel at him, at some of the things that you ask him to do and his willingness to trust you, in some cases, it seems, against all odds. And yet, he stepped out. He trusted. He looked beyond what seemed normal and natural to you. And we pray as we look in his life tonight that your Spirit would encourage our own hearts and in our own walk with you. May our faith be bolstered as we consider the faith of this man tonight, we pray. So help us, Lord, we ask. Guide us by the truth of your word, by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have 2 points tonight in the message, and those 2 points are going to cover 3 different incidences in Abraham's life. And the first one we're going to see in Genesis 12, in those first 9 verses where Abraham is trusting God with his future. If you're a Bible student, you probably know exactly what we're going to talk about here, what Genesis 12 speaks to us about. And let's just read to familiarize ourselves again these first 9 verses. This is Abraham. He's Abram, and when we look in this passage here, now the Lord had said unto Abram, verse 1, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is a dramatic statement. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So Abram here, you see, is trusting God with his future. I want you to notice a couple of things here from this passage. First of all, you've got this divine command. Right off the bat, you see it in verse 1, where God tells Abram to get out of his own country, away from his kindred, away from his father's house. And that's a pretty straightforward command that you see God giving to Abram, and it's actually a very sacrificial one when you think about it. What God is asking him to do is to leave everything that's familiar with him. That's a lot of sacrifice required in that. But that was God's expectation of Abram, that he would do this, leave all of his familiar surroundings. And he's to do that purely at the divine command, at the call of God, that this is a step that God intends for him to take. That's a tall order. And as we see now, Abraham is going to be faithful to that. But I just want to stop and remind us of God's expectation for every one of us. That whenever he speaks, whatever that command is, whatever that order is that he has in our lives, that the only legitimate response that we have to that is obedience. Regardless of what is being asked, regardless of the sacrifice that would be required, regardless of what we perceive to be such a difficult thing, the response that God intends for us is obedience. And our life, really, a life that's worth living, is really going to be based on that obedience to whatever that command of God is. And God didn't hide the sacrifices that he wanted to be made. He made them very plain here. Get on out of all of this that's familiar to you. And then he says to them, what is so requiring his faith, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if you think about Abraham and you put yourself in Abraham's shoes, you are looking around at everything that's familiar to you, everything that you've grown very comfortable with, and now God is saying to you, this is no longer part of you. I have other plans for you. This is what you're going to be leaving. Now, he's very aware of that. But what he's not aware of is what he's actually going to. And it just staggers me, Abraham's obedience. What a testimony of that. Of his trust in God, of his faith. And just put yourself in Abraham's shoes. You're here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Imagine if God said to you, I want you to pack up everything. You're here with your familiar surroundings, a familiar family, a familiar community, a familiar job, a familiar church family, and God says to you, I want you to go. And so you pack up, and then God says, now I will tell you where. You hardly know what direction to head. And this was Abraham. He's pushing away from everything that's familiar, and he's going to this land that his God is saying to, I'm going to tell you what that is. I'm going to show you what that is. What faith? And the Bible tells us here, not only is there this divine command, but there's a divine promise with this command. As you see there in the next couple of verses, in the uncertainty, Abraham has this blazing hope that's out there in front of him, really because of the bare promise of God. God says, go, I'm going to show you where it is. And here is a promise to you, as he mentioned in those next verses. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Go, I'm going to show you. You don't know yet. But in all of this, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Your name is going to be great. You're going to be a blessing. Matter of fact, every person on the earth is going to find blessing by you, from you, in this step of obedience that he's telling him. He's got purely the promise of God. I think it was Alexander McLaren who said this: this promise is a thin diet to those of an earthly appetite. I thought that was a good statement. I think that's true of all of the promises of God. To people who are of a very earthly appetite, a promise from God is not a lot to go on if your focus is on the earth. But if your focus is on heaven, it's a very healthy thing for you to operate out of, the promise of God. It's by no means a thin diet to those who are heavenly minded. But if you're not, and imagine if Abraham were not, and God says to him, I want you to do that, and all he's got in front of him is the bare promise of God. If you're of a very earthly mindset, that's not much. But the whole point, and the reason that we see Abraham and this record of Abraham and his faith that's mentioned not only here in Genesis, but Paul mentions it in Romans, and Paul mentions it again in Galatians, and another gospel writer, James, a biblical writer, James, mentions it as well. They reference this man Abraham, and what they're referencing about his life is his faith. So here you have this divine command, a divine promise, and then you've got this daring obedience. Abraham promptly, unquestionably, as far as we know from the scripture, obeys. He knew he was following a command, even though the command was probably a little bit uncomfortable to his normal, his natural senses. But that's where true faith comes in. It's just obedience to the bare word of God. And I couldn't help but think, looking at this passage, of what Jesus said in Matthew 19. verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. That's kind of where Abraham was. Here's this very familiar things, and God's saying, you're leaving all of that. I have something else for you. And at the bare command of God, you've got Abraham's obedience. And I think the great truth of faith that we learn from Abraham trusting God with his future is that with the bare word of God, he renounces everything and he says, okay, I'm going to go this direction. That is really trusting God with your future. I look at that and I say to myself, would I do that? When I just think about the example of this man, would I do that? Now, I would encourage us all to ask ourselves that. Would we do that? Is the promise of God strong enough of a diet for us spiritually that we would go for it, even though it makes absolutely no sense to us? We have no idea what we're doing, where we're going. All we've got is a command out there and a promise from God. Would we really just step out that way? That's what Abraham did. He's trusting God with his future. But not only that, secondly, I want us to notice him trusting God, not only with his future, but also with his family. Again, familiar stories of the life of Abraham to us. And I want you to notice chapter 18. Go just a few chapters here to chapter 18. And the first couple of verses, and here's Abraham, and he's trusting God when things seem completely contradictory to his own nature. And yet he's going to trust God in it. It seems completely contradictory to his own nature. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Then he says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, you did laugh. Now think of this. Here's Sarah. Here these folks come to Abraham. Sarah's in the tent. Abraham's just outside the tent. And they tell him, hey, your wife's going to have a son. Sarah's in earshot of what's being said. And she just laughs at the thought of that. You got to be kidding me. No way that's going to happen. And then God says to Abraham, did your wife just laugh at that? And Sarah, of course, hears that. She's afraid. And so the folks say, wait, I am, God says. I am going to come. and I am going to visit you, and your wife is going to have a child. There's nothing too hard for me. And then, of course, Sarah, fearful, said, hey, I didn't laugh. And, of course, God says, no, you did. You did laugh. But what you see here is Abraham strong. Abraham is strong in his faith. Matter of fact, let's go over to Romans here for just a second. Look over in Romans chapter 4. And in Romans 4, and let's begin reading in verse 16. Paul's talking here about faith. And he says in verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's what Paul's saying. Those things which be not, God works as though they were. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Who against hope, against all natural reason, he believed in hope. And being not weak in faith, verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So you've got between verse 18 and verse 19, if you mark in your Bible, you may want to put there 15 years. There's 15 years between verse 18 and verse 19. He's now 85 years old. And 18, now he's 100. And then verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And here again you see the reference to the bare promise of God. And Abraham's faith in that and his confidence was, this doesn't make any natural sense whatsoever, but if God has promised it, it is going to happen. And so he's trusting God in when things just don't seem according to nature. And then you see him also, if you move a few chapters later to chapter 22, you see him trusting God when everything seems contradictory, now even to the promise of God. This is his faith. He's going to trust. I don't really know what's going on, but here's a command from God to me. I'm going to do it. And so he does it. He goes. And then you see him, God says something else to him, makes another promise to him that doesn't make any sense at all from a natural standpoint, but God made a promise. And so Abraham is willing to say, okay, if you promised it, that's good. And so, as Paul says, he staggers not at that promise, even though it seemed to go totally against nature. And now he's got a promise, here's a command, and it doesn't seem right. It seems completely contradictory to the promise of God in his life. And of course, you're very familiar with this story. Genesis 22, verse 1. Came to pass after these things that God did tempt to test. Is the idea there? God never tempts us ever to do wrong. The scripture is very clear about that. But God does test us. He brings us into circumstances that try our faith. And God did test Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So here he is again, just raw obedience at the command. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. He saw the place afar off there in the distance. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his dad, his father, and said, my father. He says, here I am, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. So you know that story. You've heard it many, many, many times. But here is Abraham acting in according to the command of God, even though obeying that command seemed contrary to the promise that he had already been given. And you can imagine what could have been going through Abraham's mind as he thought about that. As he thought about that command that's given to him. How in the world was he going to be a father of a great nation by sacrificing his only son? And you can imagine that that just seemed to really challenge him. But he's just moving forward. Again, it's the bare command of God that Abraham is intent on obeying, and with a confident faith that God is going to work things out. If God said it, then I ought to obey it. God's going to work it out. That seems so much what's going on in Abraham's life. And here he is really at the very climax of his faith, to trust God absolutely, even when it seems completely contrary to something that God just told him earlier. But believing that God was going to work it out, which Hebrews does tell it. That was his confidence. Now we'll look at that here in just a minute. But Abraham's confidence was, well, God promised this. So this is going to work, even if God has to raise up his son. God's going to make it work. And that was his confidence. So there's this, I think, really just an inward surrender that Abraham has to whatever it is that God wants, and then the outward actions, and God's going to work all of that out. And you see, as God often does, right at the last minute, right at the last minute, you see God stepping in, not because there was something that God needed to learn from Abraham. God already knew that. But there was something that God was wanting Abraham to learn in all of this. And so he waits till the very end. Now I want you to go, in closing, just go to Hebrews. And let's just read these familiar words. Here is, as you know, the Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, as you often heard it called. And Abraham's there. And the Bible tells us in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Abraham obeyed by faith. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And here's what his thinking when he did this. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise up Isaac, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That is faith. I mean, the bare promise of God. Spurgeon said this: if I might have any choice between having abundant wealth or being brought to absolute dependence on daily supplies, if in the latter case I could have greater power to exhibit and to exert faith in Christ, I must confess that I should prefer the mode of living which would give me most room to enjoy the luxury of depending on my God. I believe it's a happier and more divine life to live from hand to mouth, dependent on the providence of God and having confidence and trust in Him, than it is to have all the abundance of this world, but to have nothing about which faith may exercise itself. That's a really good quote. Spurgeon saying, I want to be able to be in a position so that I must live in dependence, so that he's exercising his faith and trusting God. And I was thinking this afternoon as I was looking back over this for this evening, how important I think this is going to be for us, how important it's going to be for our children, that we are working right now to bolster our faith in what God says. Because as our world and our culture continues to move further and further away from God, when believing people are continuing to be more and more ostracized and more seen as a threat to the new cultural mores, we are going to see, as God tarries his coming, we are going to see persecution. Our country doesn't know much of that like it is known in other countries. But there are many places that you can go in the world, and Christian people, believing people, are enduring hardship because they are believing people. We haven't known much of that. Our country, through its founding, and our founding with the Judeo-Christian ethic and a sense of God. And if you doubt that, just go to D.C. and look at all the different buildings that you see there and the scripture that you see there on those buildings. But we are fast, fast departing away from that. And we cannot, as a nation, depart away from the truth of God and expect it to be okay. It's not going to be okay. And it seems to me, in the providence of God, as we continue to push God away, that we are going to be enduring things. And the best thing I think that we can do in our own lives is bolstering our faith and bolstering the faith of our children. That in the midst of challenging circumstances, if we have the bare command of God, then that is sufficient. And we ought to be able to live just like Abraham did, with a confidence in God, and that whatever God says is right. And so we are going to trust that against all odds. And whatever the challenge may be, or the sacrifices that we make, the persecution that we may endure, then we are a confident people in God. And we're going to trust Him, the bare command that He has given to us. And I believe that we believe that God is right. I believe that we would believe that. I think all of us would say that, yes, I believe that. I believe, preacher, that God's way is right. I believe that it is God's world, and that whatever God says is so. But I think we should be wise to do everything that we can to bolster our faith. For who knows, as God tarries, what He may have for us down the road. And I'm not at all wanting to be doom and gloom, because you can't live that way with a confident faith in God. Now, whatever God says is so, and we can rest in that, and He is going to work it all out for His own glory and for our good, and it's all going to be okay.